of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ. We see L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, that's Christ. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. I know sometimes we read these writings and we consider that somehow it was because of their intellect or their great ability to read. No. Everything we're reading in Scripture is directed by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what the word inspired means. God breathed. I don't believe that when they were writing these, they were in their minds thinking, oh, this is going to be part of the Bible one day. They were writing as the Spirit of the Lord directed them to write, and it was the Lord who caused others to compile these even after they were gone, lest any should glory in them. And David here is diverting any thought of glory in himself, saying, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word, and there again, wherever you see W-O-R-D, that's Christ the Word. Says there in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now, when it says it pleased the Lord, it doesn't mean that the father is up there just having a high old time thinking, look what I'm doing to my son. The word pleased there is his good pleasure. Speaking of his will and his decree and what he's purposed, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. That word bruise, when used of grain, speaks of where the seed is sown and the plant grows up, and now the fruit or the wheat is cut down and run through the mill and crushed in order to become flour from which then is made bread. You think about what it is for Christ to be the bread of life. That he was as the seed sown in this ground, and that seed died. And then came forth the wheat, which was cut down and put in the mill and crushed into flour, from which then bread was made, the bread of life. That's the picture there. He had put him to grief. A lot of us know people that grieve. And constantly grieve. But that's nothing compared to this grief. This is him, the just one, bearing the sin of that people that he came to save. And therein is the sinner's righteousness before God. It's that doctrine. What I've just declared unto you is the sum of the gospel. You say, why would people be offended with that? Because they have built up their own doctrines. Got a lot invested. Look around at religion today. There's a lot invested in religion. I'm talking even Christendom. Look at how big these buildings are, how beautiful and how many masses there are. It's an odd thought that the Lord gives me every once in a while, that if the Lord should ever put me in a place to preach in one of those places, that probably would not last a year before we'd have to sell the building. Downsize, get rid of everything. Shut it out. Why? Because it's in contrast to everything that the Scriptures teach about Christ and who He is and what He accomplished. You're talking about the broad way versus the narrow way. And isn't that what most people get upset about when they hear you declaring the doctrine of Christ? They'll say, oh, that's, well, that's narrow there. That cuts out too many. Are you telling me, that's how people respond, you telling me that you're the only one that's saved? Because they see a problem, but they don't want to ever give up that bad investment. All of us have been in bad investments at one time or another. You just keep hanging on, thinking somehow that thing's going to turn around. I don't know when, at what point you learn, you never improve your weaknesses. You can strengthen your strengths, but you can never improve your weaknesses. They are what they are. And I'll tell you, everything about this flesh is nothing but weakness. You're not going to improve it. Nothing you do, say, or try is going to ever improve who we are and what we are.